Welcome to Through the Word, leading you on a journey through the entire Bible, one chapter at a time. Today, Bill Welsh guides us through the New Testament book of Acts. Now to Pastor Bill.
Hi, this is Pastor Bill, and welcome to our study in the book of Acts. We're up to chapter 16 now. I'm sure this has happened to you. You get up one morning to do your normal thing, your routine, then all of a sudden plans change. And you know you need to just go with the flow. That's the story of chapter 16. You see, Paul and Silas are on a journey to just encourage the existing churches that Paul and Barnabas had planted on the first mission trip. And while they're doing that, new orders come through from headquarters, from God. Verses 1 to 5, they're a little bit strange in light of the decision from the Jerusalem Council that we studied in chapter 15. Paul is carrying a copy of this letter from the Jerusalem Council, or at least the content of that letter, stating that Gentiles do not have to subscribe to the Jewish law regarding circumcision. But when he gets to the town where Timothy lives, he seems to throw that out the window. Since Timothy is part Jewish, and since there is so much Jewish opposition in the area, Paul decides to go the extra step, or more accurately, to have Timothy go that extra step, and he has him circumcised. So is Paul demonstrating a double standard, or is he disregarding the letter from Jerusalem? Not at all. He is just not flaunting that liberty. And come on, hey, hats off to young Timothy for saying, okay, he'd go through with it. Timothy's humility and his courage deflected a lot of opposition and prepared the way to just get down to the business of the gospel. As Paul and Silas, and now Timothy, continue on their way, the churches are strengthened in their faith and more are added to their numbers on a daily basis. And then in verses 6 through 10, we see a huge step in the advance of the kingdom and the spread of the gospel around the Mediterranean Sea. Verse 6 says that when Paul's team headed north, they were forbidden to preach the gospel in both that region as well as in the northeast portion of that area that is today Turkey. And hadn't God called them to go everywhere? Didn't Jesus say, take this gospel everywhere? Yes, but now they're getting orders from God to not go into that region yet, and so they obey. And then one night while Paul was sleeping, he has a vision, a dream, in which he sees a man from Macedonia who says to Paul, come over to Macedonia and help us. That's it. That's why God said no to Asia, because he was saying yes to Europe. How many times have I gotten discouraged because a door would not open, only to find that God was preparing another door, a better door, a more fruitful field in which to serve him? You can feel Paul's excitement as he immediately begins to prepare for a move across the Aegean Sea and into Macedonia, just north of Greece. This is the first organized team of Christian missionaries to make that crossing, as far as we know. The gospel is heading now into the heart of the Roman Empire, the dominant world power at that time. And after the crossing, Paul and his team apparently pass through a couple of towns before they stop in Philippi, which is called a leading city of that district of Macedonia as well as a Roman colony. In verse 12, it says that they were in Philippi for some days before they made contact with some Jewish women who gathered by the river to pray. Well, Paul and his team began to share the gospel with them, and one woman in particular, her name is Lydia, she responds to the gospel and is saved. She was a merchant from Thyatira in Asia Minor. Did you catch that? Interesting that the first convert in Europe, in Macedonia, is a woman from the very area that Paul has just left. She and her whole family get saved, baptized, and then they actually take Paul and his ministry team into their home. Well, the next convert is also a woman, a young woman, a slave girl, whose life is dominated by a demon that the Bible calls a spirit of divination. This would mean that she was demonically empowered to either tell the future or speak for the dead in some way. She was also dominated by her owners, who made money off of her occultic abilities. And before she gets saved, she follows Paul around shouting out, quote, these men speak for God and can tell you how to get saved, end quote. Well, what's wrong with that? But Paul gets tired of this woman's volunteer PR and finally sets her free from the demon that's been thrashing her. And you know what happens? When the demon goes, the occultic power goes as well, and the girl's owners lose their profits. So it gets ugly as Paul and Silas get dragged before the local judges, tried in a sham court, beaten and thrown into a dungeon where the jailer locks their feet in the stocks. And then the ugly, well, it turns beautiful. Personally, this amazes me. I think I'd be in no condition or state of mind to do what Paul and Silas decided to do next. Check it out there in verse 25. Here's how it reads. At about midnight, Paul and Silas started praying and singing. Did you hear that? Singing. Yes, singing. And his fellow prisoners are listening. I mean, what else do they have to do, I guess, locked in the dungeon? But God was listening too. And I think it's safe to say that the quake we read about in verse 26, that earthquake, was God's response to their devotion that night. The ground shakes, the prison doors fling open, the bonds fall off all the prisoners, and the jailer, who had been sleeping, he sees the open cell doors, and he assumes that the prisoners had all escaped, which meant he was a dead man, for allowing them to escape. So he draws his sword and prepares to kill himself. But look at verse 29. Paul to the rescue. It reads like this. Paul cried with a loud voice, "Do not harm yourself. We are all here." The poor jailer is stunned and afraid. He runs in and falls down before his prisoners now, begging them to tell him how he can get saved. Wow, what a turnaround. What would you do? The earth may still be shaking, and you don't know how much time you have. Could you share the gospel in a few seconds? Well, in verse 31, the key verse in chapter 16, Paul simply says this, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you shall be saved in your household." That's it? Yeah, that's it. That's how you get saved. That's how your whole family gets saved too. You believe in Jesus Christ, and so they do. Another family in Philippi gets saved, baptized, and takes Paul home. Door after door keep opening for Paul and his friends as they serve Jesus in this region. And then the following morning, the judges, who had had them brutally beaten after finding out that Paul is actually a Roman citizen and therefore it was illegal to treat him this way, they beg Paul and his team to leave their city, which they eventually do, but only after paying a brief visit to Lydia, their first host in the city, and encouraging the growing circle of believers to be strong in the Lord. And then Paul moves on from Philippi, but a strong work has begun there. Paul will write a letter to the church in this city one day, and one of the most encouraging letters that he wrote, I might add. And he'll tell them this, "Rejoice in the Lord always." And they will remember that he, Paul, and Silas showed them just how to do that one evening in a prison with their feet in the stocks, backs bruised and bloodied. They lifted praise to God. Not the blues. They lifted praise and rejoicing to God. It's worth noting that this was Paul's first prison sentence, and I'd say he handled it pretty well. And he learned how to use seasons of confinement and conflict for God's glory. May we learn to redeem our night seasons as well. Chapter 16 encourages me to simply be faithful and to look for the open doors rather than trying to force open a closed door, which honestly could be a trap door. You know, I'm impressed with the way that Paul simply listened to the leading of the Lord as he led him from one field of service to the next. They're heading our way, from Israel to Asia to Europe and eventually to our town, to your town. And may we learn to simply follow that same direction from God as he leads our lives. So jump in here and get excited as the gospel heads your way. God bless you.
Join us next time on Through the Word as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. Start your own journey through the Bible with our web and mobile apps at throughtheword.org. Our apps are free and free to share, so tell your friends and take the journey together. Bill Welsh is the senior pastor of Refuge in Huntington Beach, California. You can find information and links for all of our teachers on the website. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the Word.